Sterling's killing by police. And we hear more about the ongoing lawsuit to count the votes in the California Democratic primary. At 11 o'clock, stay tuned for The Dirtbag. Today, host Glenn Andreessen and his guest Jim Gilbert discuss summer weed control and watering, pruning fruit trees in the summer, and Jim's garden travels to Italy. And we thank you once again, all you members out there contributing to community radio. We really appreciate it. This Thursday, we have a 25-hour Kabooathon that you can call in to support KABU starting at 6 a.m. on Thursday. Okay, coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Today, I'm not sure what her topics are, but headlines, interviews, and commentary. That's all coming up after this.
Thursday, July 14th, Shocks of Sheba will be broadcasting live from Fire on the Mountain as part of KABU's 25-hour membership drive marathon. Tune in from noon to 4, or join us in person at Fire on the Mountain at 57th and Fremont in Northeast Portland. TJT from KABU's Youth Collective will be joining us, blending his original hip-hop with the reggae vibes. It's community collaboration and celebration. That's Thursday, July 14th, from noon until 4 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, July 13th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. A little weather to get things rolling. Today, mostly cloudy and gradually clearing. Highs are about around 77 and light northwest winds. Clear skies at overnight with a low around 57, and for tomorrow, sunny and a high around 80. For tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 56 and northwest winds 6 to 11 miles per hour. And that is it over the skies and into the earth and throughout the waters of Cascadia, our habitat. The only habitat we've got, so, and the last habitat we'll ever have. So, that said, we're going to get going now. I've got two terrific guests today: Marjorie Cohen, Professor Emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, an editor and contributor to Drones and Targeted Killings: Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. U.S. law enforcement is continuing to go in the wrong direction, or in this recent case of robots killing civilians, U.S. legal jurisprudence going in no direction at all. We also have a story closer to home coming from Hanford again. There are a great many concerned workers, enough to tip the balance and keep people from going near the site. It is so contaminated. It sickens so many people. That said, before we go further, touch on other headlines, we're going to be speaking, as we said before, with Marjorie Cohen, Professor Emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, an editor and contributor to Drones and Targeted Killings, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. This remark was remarked upon earlier as a sign that U.S. law enforcement is continuing to go in the wrong direction. And as earlier noted, in the case of robots killing civilians, U.S. law enforcement going in no direction whatsoever. We don't have any laws governing robots killing civilians. It's something straight out of one's worst science fiction nightmare. Conjures up images of police cruisers rolling through certain, let's say, in quotes, urban neighborhoods, and we know what that means, don't we? This would be, let's just imagine for a moment, a white cop at the wheel of his huge, massive cruiser loaded down with a best technology money can buy, and sitting riding shotgun, no pun intended, a robot. And that robot could be deployed, just for the sake of argument, at the push of a button. And it might be able to, say, take out anyone that the policeman driving the vehicle, that anyone that that policeman might think was a bit threatening. A child with a toy gun, an adolescent, a young black man in a hoodie reaching in his pocket to find his house keys. It could be an African-American student who is looking for, you know, looking through pockets for his glasses. And it could be a homeowner, an African-American gentleman on his way home from work. He might have a lunch bag or a bag of groceries or something, and drops it, reaches to pick it up. Boom! Robot is on these people because our friendly neighborhood police robot has been deployed based on algorithms developed to profile people of the certain communities. Marjorie, thank you so much. I just wanted to indulge in a little bit of imaginary scenarios there. But I want to ask you about legal precedent and the use of robots and certainly, of course, drones. Do we as yet? What is the current legal status of jurisprudence when it comes to drones? Have we anything in the way of laws governing the use of drones?
No, we have laws about the use of deadly force. So police cannot use deadly force unless they have a reasonable belief that there is a threat of death or great bodily injury to themselves or the public. So if Micah Xavier Johnson was holed up in a parking garage, and if there was, and it was, I guess, late at night, if there was nobody else in immediate danger, the police could have and should have waited him out. And one of the things that he told the police when they were having a back and forth is that there were bombs all over downtown Dallas. Now, if that were true, it certainly would have been better for public safety to wait him out and then interrogate him about where those bombs were, or even use tear gas. I mean, if they sent a robot in to kill him, an armed robot, they could have sent a robot in with tear gas not to kill him, but to kind of force him out. And due process, which means you arrest somebody and bring them to trial, is enshrined in our Constitution. It's enshrined in a treaty that the U.S. has ratified called the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And when the U.S. ratifies a treaty, it becomes part of domestic law. So I can see in the future a proliferation of these deadly robots. There is already increasing militarization of the police. Most police departments have these robots, like the one used in Dallas. This one probably came from Northrop Grumman, which also makes the Global Hawk drones, surveillance drones that are used in Obama's drone wars. And I think there was a report that the police department in Dallas was authorized to buy a hazardous duty robot and accessories in 2008 from Northrop Grumman and for $207,000. So I see increasingly the use of these drones, these killer bombs, I guess you would say, robot bombs. And the police in Dallas said, "We saw no other option but to use our bomb robot and place a device on its extension for it to detonate where the suspect was or where the subject was. Other options would have exposed our officers to grave danger." They didn't really elaborate on how Mr. Johnson was exposing the officers to grave danger, other than that he had already allegedly, and they suspected him of shooting the police officers, which certainly is a danger. But then going forward, does he continue to be a danger? And I think that a lot of people don't really question this. They just think he killed five officers. They were not doing anything. They were policing a peaceful demonstration. And so why not just take him out, take out the bad guy? And that's the same thing that people said when Obama took out Osama bin Laden. I think probably most people still feel that way, even though he was not armed. He could have been arrested and brought to trial. So I think that we need to be mindful of due process, which is not just a formality. It's something that protects all of us. If the police think that you're guilty of something, which you're not, you want to be arrested, given fair treatment, given a fair trial. And I'm not saying that Mr. Johnson was guilty or innocent. That's not really the issue. The issue did the police officers have a reasonable belief that they or members of the public were in danger from Mr. Johnson? Because if they didn't, if he did not continue to be a danger, they should have gotten him out with maybe with tear gas or waited him out, and they seemed to be getting impatient, and I think a lot of people said, right on, good, they killed the bad guy. But this militarization of the police is very concerning. I mean, law enforcement agencies all over the country have armored personnel carriers, camouflage uniforms, grenade launchers, M16 assault rifles. You know, they're almost like paramilitary. And the Pentagon sells a lot of its equipment at a severe discount to police departments, or it gives it away. So that's how these police departments get all this heavy equipment. But the answer is not to use more killer robots to kill citizens in this country, or even in other countries, and that's a whole other issue, killing people with drones in other countries off the battlefield because we suspect them of being bad guys, or we suspect that they're in areas of suspicious activity and they're males, is really not the direction to go. The direction we should be heading is community-based policing, citizens' police review boards, independent oversight of the police, and also elevating the requirements and the training and the credentials required to be police officers. And police officers should have advanced degrees. They should be paid a lot of money. They should be screened for racism. They should be given extensive training in cultural sensitivity. And it's just an intolerable situation, and it's going to increase. And, of course, at the root of a lot of these killings is racism. I mean, somebody who is acting in a perfectly legal way, obeying the police command, and reaching for his license, getting his license, and being honest with the police, I have a right to carry, lawfully carry a gun, and then the police kill him, assassinate him.
There are really no laws governing the with all of this military ordinance out there, no laws whatsoever governing it. Marjorie, before we let you go, we're completely out of time, a website that listeners could go to get up to speed on all of this.
Yes. Well,